Okay. Good morning. Welcome.
Well, hi, everyone.
Are we on? I don't see it there. Are we on?
Now we are. There we go.
Oh, we are. There we are. We're on. Yay.
Hi, everyone. Hey.
Good morning. We're just getting going here.
Yeah.
Welcome. We welcome you to Church at the Gate this morning, and we would love to know if you are here. Let us know if you're here so that we can pray for you this morning.
I see Debbie.
Oh, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Good to see you.
We love it. We love it that you're here virtually. We wish you were here in person, but this is great. So let's see. Lord, what's a word for Debbie this morning that she needs to hear from you? Yeah. I just see Debbie. I see like a water spigot, and it's like an old-fashioned one. And I see it like it's a little bit corroded, and it's got some stuff building up on it. And I just saw like I feel like the Lord I saw his hand like go and open that spigot up and turn it, and all the, and when he turned it, I feel like that it became like a beautiful polished pipe. And there was things were flowing out of it, and I feel like the Lord, maybe there's new things that Lord is opening, going to open up in your life where there's been some decay, or it seems like it's been stagnant and there hasn't been much flow. So we're just declaring that over you, Debbie, that there are new things that are going to flow forth that are from, and I feel like it even has to do with God's word for you. That God, as you, the washing of the water of the word is what I felt like I heard, that as you're reading his word, as you're just in his presence, that he's opening new waterways and new things within you. But I feel like it's even around you as well, Debbie. So we bless you.
Yes. And as I was just listening, Debbie, I just heard the Lord saying, he just kept repeating, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Oh,
you already know, but you know, it's always nice to hear it again.
It's the best thing to hear.
Lord.
Yeah. Oh, so Lord, we just praise you for Debbie. We thank you. And we do pray, Lord, that she would know how loved she is.
Yes.
And that God, you would just be just pouring it out over her. Your extravagant, endless, boundless love. And I pray that she'll feel it, she'll know it, in her being, because she'll hear it from you, and that she'll read it in your word, and that Lord, you'll just be speaking it over her. Thank you for the new things you're opening up.
Yes.
That may be some things that have been gotten rusty, even. And we just thank you. There's a new flow. There's a new flow coming out of that. That spigot. You've got something new that you are pouring out. So we bless Debbie today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And even as you were praying, Becky, I just felt like the Lord was pointing out his love is eternal, right? But our experience of his love, our ability to receive his love, it's almost like an onion. Like there are layers and layers and layers. There's depths to it. And so, Debbie, he's giving you an even deeper awareness and understanding of how richly he loves you in this season. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. We agree with that every need would be met. So,
Amen. Yes.
So, if you're here, let us know. We would love to hear from you and be able to pray for you this morning. And I love what you just said. That was so good. I mean, about how we're at different points in our life to be able to receive the revelation of God's love. That we go through times where we're in different places in our life where our hearts are more open, or we understand it. We receive a revelation or an understanding. So, we pray for everybody that's listening to that. We all desire that. We want to be that new revelation of God's love for us. Yeah.
Do you have a testimony to that, Becky, of having experienced like maybe a richer understanding of God's love? I don't know why. I just felt
I guess when I, our family years ago went through some really hard moments and I knew that I was loved, and I thought I all was good in my life, and some things kind of blew up and were out of my control. Not that anything is ever in our control, but I had the illusion of control. But, God met me so personally, and he taught me from, like, I felt like I was getting fed from his hand.
Wow.
Like it was from his hand, and it was very personal, and I realized of the brokenness that I had. And I was looking at everybody else's brokenness, but it was actually, there was things in my heart that God needed to heal. And that would be the biggest revelation of God's love for me, is that I just realized that he cares. And he cares about those small things as well as the larger things. But that I felt like when he cared for my family and brought us through that, that, yeah, I learned of his love in a very experiential way.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. What an amazing yes. testimony.
Yes. Thank you. God is good to meet us in our needs. So, yes. Yeah, and if you have any needs this morning you would like us to pray for, too, be sure and let us know. We know the power of prayer. We know God is so good to meet our needs.
Don't be a stranger.
Yep. That's right. Yep. Just give us a word. We would love to hear from you. Yeah. It's windy here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for those who are.
Yes.
Yesterday it was windy. Today it's windy. I think tomorrow is supposed to be windy, too.
Oh, lovely.
And but I always think, okay, Lord, what are you speaking to us here? What are the, you said something about, did you say winds of refreshing or just give us refreshment? And I think, sometimes it blows away all the old debris and the stuff, and gives us that fresh breath of air too, that, I just think, Lord, what are you doing?
Yeah. You're stirring something new and out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah. For this new season.
It's a change. I love it.
Yes. Brand new things that you're doing. So we just thank you, Lord. And that spring's coming. Spring is already here. We say it's here. We're going to see it.
Yeah. We have Pearl watching.
Oh,
hi,
yes.
Pearl.
Welcome, Pearl.
Thanks for watching.
Yes. Welcome.
Shall we pray for her?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Lord, we just thank you for Pearl. We thank you for her life. We just pray, Lord, that you would deposit a word to us for her.
Yes.
If you have one, Lord, we just stand here as vessels to receive.
Mm. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, Pearl, as it literally says in the feed, Pearl Lieferman is watching. I just felt like the Lord was saying, as you are watching this stream, I am watching you. I have my eye on you. I'm for you. Yeah. And I just feel like he's saying, you need to know that. You need to know that I am watching you and I am for you. And it's not like a judgmental watch. It's more of a, like, I've got you. I have my eye on you because I love you. And he just wants you to know that he has your back, and that there are crossroads and decisions that you're facing and needing to make. And he's going to equip you to make the right decisions, the right choices.
Mm.
So, Lord, we just thank you for wisdom and discernment.
Yeah. And I just heard the phrase above and beyond for you, Pearl. Just that above and beyond. I just feel like you can even just lift your expectations, that there is some things that I feel like it was even deep desires in your heart, that there's an above and beyond that the Lord is going to be just delivering to you. I just say, keep your eyes open. I feel like there's something above and beyond, and I think you're going to know what it is when it comes too. So, yeah. So Lord, we pray for Pearl today and we bless her. Thank you that Lord, her heart is for you. Her heart is hungry for you, for all that you want to give her. And so we bless her today, Lord, with the more, with the above and beyond, that you would take her to those places that she is desiring, those places in you, Lord, that you want to reveal to her. Yeah. We bless her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Linda Lilly, good morning. Good morning.
Yes.
Yay, you're right. Yay, Jesus. We agree with you. Oh, Linda. Yeah, Lord, what do you want to speak to Linda this morning? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. All right.
Okay, cool.
Oh.
Linda.
Yeah. Father, we just pray for Linda this morning. I just feel like I heard the phrase old faithful, not that you're old, but I thought just, which is that geyser, isn't that old faithful, the geyser in Yellowstone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is faithful to, it erupts. Does it still? I can't remember. I don't know. I haven't paid any attention to that for years, but I feel like what the Lord was saying is just the beauty is that he can count on you. That Linda, he can count on you. He knows that you will follow through, that if he calls you, that you have a willing heart and that you will go, you will do, you will speak. whatever he says, and he, how he loves that, how that delights his heart that you're willing to do that. So yeah, we bless you today, Linda. We bless you for that.
The only thing I heard Linda was the Lord say, I am with you. That was it. That's really all you need.
So, that's right. That's right. So yeah, we bless Linda today, Lord, every need that she has.
Yes.
God, I pray that you would just pour out your goodness and your glory over her. I pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Nicole is watching. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Lord, do we give us a word for Nicole this morning? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I just hear the word watchful. I just feel like the Lord is saying he sees you as someone who observes, observes others, observes situations, that you're a very observant person, and he's gifted you with the skills of observation. And it's actually part of your gifting artistically. And so... there are things that he's showing you. He's like up leveling and upgrading your skill level, even though it's already high. And he wants you to know that his hand is in the process.
And I just heard the phrase a long and winding road. And I know that's an old Beatles song.
Yeah.
How does that continue on? That leads, I don't know the words. You'll have to look at the words for that. Nicole, I'm not sure what they are, but I just felt like even I saw the long and winding road too. And I feel like maybe you've been on a road that you feel has been an endless road and that it's gone back and forth. But it will end. I feel like the Lord was saying it's leading you somewhere. It's not leading you nowhere. It's leading you somewhere, and that you can count on him to be faithful, to bring you to the destination that he desires for you, that he will reveal it at the perfect time, but to just follow him, stay on the road, stay on the path, and trust him. I'd even feel like you should speak it out loud and say, Lord, I trust you and I will follow you, that you will go that wherever he leads you, he's going to do what he wants to do in your life.
He wants you to know you're not meandering. You're not meandering.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that. So we bless you. I see there's some other people on here. We just say bless you, Megan and Hank. And we just say, Lord, thank you for our service this morning.
Yes.
For all that you want to do here. We pray for every need of everyone who identified themselves as online. And everyone else, Lord, that maybe did not identify themselves. God, we bless them today. We thank you that, God, you're ministering to them through the airwaves. And that, God, you would just be speaking to their hearts, giving them hope. Lift their heads, Lord, whatever they're needing. I pray for just new revelation today, God. And we just pray that for all of us in the service this morning. And we bless our worship team. We bless our everyone who will minister this morning. And we thank you for every part of the body of Christ, Lord, that you will use in the service today.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you guys for watching.
Yes, thank you.
So cool.
Good morning, Gate family. I want to invite you to stand. How many know Scripture says, today is the day the Lord has made, so I will what? I will what?
Rejoice.
I will rejoice and be what? I will be glad in it. Are you ready to do that today? If you're ready to rejoice in the Lord because He's good no matter what the day has or what the day brings, God is good. How long is God good?
All the time.
Amen. If you believe that, shout to Him this morning. Give Him a hand of praise. Here we go. One, two, three, four. Yeah. Today's the day. Sing it out.
I'm casting my cares aside, leaving my past behind, setting my heart and mind on You, Jesus. Reaching my hand to Yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all You have in store for me is good.
Yeah,
well, it's good. Today is the day You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Trusting in what You say. Today is the day. My doubts behind, giving my hopes and dreams to You, Jesus. Reaching my hand to Yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all You have in store for me is good.
Come on.
Well, it's good. Today is the day You have made. I will rejoice and be glad.
Stringed instruments out this morning. Get ready to repeat after me. We're going to say it like this.
I will stand up on Your truth.
I will stand up on Your truth.
And all my days I live for You.
Oh, all my days I live
Take
for
it out.
You.
And I will stand up on Your truth.
I will stand up on Your truth.
And all my days I Today is the day You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving You my fears and sorrows, where You lead me, I will follow. Trusting in what You say. Today is the day.
Shout to Him, yes, this morning.
Woo. Yes, it is the day.
Oh, thank You, Lord. But You are so good. You're so faithful. We can praise You this morning. Three, hey. about his faithfulness. Well, Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. A giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Our faithful. All your promises are yes and amen. Tell them again. All your promises are yes and amen. Hey. Yes, God. Great is your faithfulness. Beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior, you have brought. From the ashes, you have broken every curse. Come on. A blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Lord, I can't help but. All your promises are yes and amen. All of your promises, all your promises are yes and amen. Faithful, faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. Promises are yes and amen. All of your promises, all your promises are yes and amen. We believe that this morning. No matter what you've said, you're not a man that you should lie. We believe your promises. So here's what we're going to do this morning. And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence. Here we go. Is your faithfulness. And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence, oh, is your faithful. Tell him faithful. Are yes and amen. Every promise, all your promises are yes and amen. Every single promise, all your promises are yes and amen. One more time. All your promises are yes and amen. for your promises this morning. You say the yes and we say the amen. You say the yes and we say amen. You say the yes and we say the amen. You say the yes and we say amen. Tell him that again now. You say the yes and we say the amen. You say the yes and we say amen. Whoa, you say the yes and we say the amen. You say the yes and we say amen. So right now, Lord, as we're singing this, thank you that you're reminding us of all the promises. All the promises you've made to us. Holy Spirit, we give you permission right now to remind us once again of some promises we've forgotten about, some promises we've given up on. And we remember this morning, God, you say the yes and we say the amen. You say the yes and we say amen. You say the yes, and we say the amen. You say the yes, and we say amen. Jesus, you say the yes, and we say the amen. You say the yes, and we say amen right now. You say the yes, and we say the morning. No matter how many of the promises there are, you say the yes and we say amen. We trust you this morning. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. We say that again this morning. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the thank you this morning. We can trust you. You're trustworthy, God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. Time after time, born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. God, my Savior, one who has never failed. He has never failed. I trust in God, my Savior, one who has never failed. He has never failed. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow is ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one never failed. He has never failed. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who has never failed. He has never failed.
We can trust you. We can
trust you. We do trust you today.
We can trust.
Take a moment this morning. Use your own words. Use your own words of worship to you this morning, God, that you are the sun that cannot be eclipsed.
Yeah.
There's no putting out this light. There's no extinguishing or even hiding. Your word says that the light shone in the darkness. John chapter 1. One translation, and the darkness could not extinguish it. The darkness could not cancel it out. Thank you, Lord. You shine this morning. You shine into the corners, God. You shine into what we think are dark places, because your word says in Psalms, even the darkness is as light to you. Oh, thank you for the light, the brightness of your truth, your love, breaking through this morning. Breaking through, oh God. Breaking through with your light, breaking through with your healing, breaking through with your love, breaking through with your grace, breaking through is the deliverer, Son of righteousness, rising with healing in your wings, oh God. No lyrics on the screen for this one. We're just going to sing the simplest word out to him.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
I love you.
Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you.
That's it. Sing it out.
Lord, I love.
Lord, I love. voices this morning, and we give you praise, we give you worship. We adore you, we adore you, we adore you, we adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So good, you're so good, and your love endures forever, oh God. Your mercy endures forever, oh God. We worship you this morning, Jesus. We have time to just tell you how great you are. If that's all we even do all morning long is tell you you're great, the morning will have been well spent. You are good. You are awesome. You are worthy. Come on, can we lift up another shout of praise for him today? Because he's worthy.
Yeah, God, we just thank you for a response to our worship. God, you say with one look of our eyes, we've ravished your heart. And so thank you that there's a response, God, as we pour out our hearts, Lord. So I just thank you, God, for responding with your presence this morning. I just saw the Lord hovering over us and just giving this huge hug.
Thank you, Lord.
So I thank you for your just thick presence in this room, God.
Yeah.
And we get to feel your touch, Lord. We get to feel your touch because you respond when we worship, God. God, I thank you that we get to hear your voice, that even right now, not someday, but right now. We get to hear our Father's voice. You respond, God. You hear us sing. We get to hear you sing right now, God.
Yes.
And God, I thank you that we get to see you this morning too. You're just touching on those senses, Lord. We get to see you this morning, even as our imagination. That smile on your face, God, the love in your eyes, Lord. God, thank you. This is heaven on earth, right here, yes, feeling yes, your presence, yes, seeing you yes, and hearing you. You're here. Yes. We declare that you're here. Your voice is here. Your touch is here, God. Being able to see you, it's here. And it's everywhere, God. You're everywhere. So we just bless you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're the reason we worship. You're the reason we came today, God. You're the reason we're here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on. That was so good. Thank you, worship team. Rock on. Rock on, they say. I really thought we were just going to keep going and worship for a while there. Even before you said that, I'm like, woo. Come on.
Yeah.
But God is good, right?
Yeah.
So welcome to the gate. We are a welcoming family. This is our mission statement, part of our mission statement. Well, welcoming family, encountering God. So we pray that you feel welcome this morning and that you really encounter it, just like we were praying just now. Hearing his voice, feeling his presence, and even just seeing him. So that's where you are. That's why this place exists, is to encounter him. So thank you, Jesus, that you're here right now. And so we like to even just take time for like 10 minutes here and just go, okay, God, what are you saying? And we give you all the opportunity to listen. And then whatever he gives you, you can text it into us and we'll just like pray it into being. So a lot of times we're just asking God for like a name, maybe a sickness with that name. And then we'll just run with whatever you're getting. So we just believe everybody hears from him. We're his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. Even if you grew up in a setting where you weren't taught that, lots of us were growing up in a setting where we weren't taught that, but we do hear from him. So we're going to teach our kiddos that they hear from him too. So they're going to come up here and they're going to pray back what you send in, and they're going to have some of their own stuff too. So yeah, I'll just kick us off with what I felt like God was giving me. I felt like I heard the name Megan, Mariah, and the name Precious. And that Megan was dealing with a disease. Is there a Megan in here dealing with stuff, illness, sickness? Okay. And then Mariah, I felt like I just saw the Lord just comforting her. I just felt like Mariah just needed comfort this morning. And then I heard the name Precious, and I was like, Precious, whose name is Precious? And maybe there is somebody in here named Precious, but I was just feeling like the Lord is saying, they're all precious. Like, you're all precious. And so let's just pray into that. You mighty ones want to help me pray for these three. Well, we won't just elongate it, but we'll pray for them. So Jesus, we lift up Megan right now.
We lift up Megan right now.
And we declare.
And we declare.
That every disease.
That every disease.
And sickness.
And sickness.
Has got to go.
Has got to go.
We say disease.
We say disease.
Bow to Jesus.
Bow to Jesus.
And get out.
And get out.
And we just declare over Mariah.
And we declare over Mariah.
The Father's love.
The Father's love.
All out comfort.
All out comfort.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And we just declare.
And we declare.
Over ourselves.
Over ourselves.
That we.
That we.
And our neighbors.
And our neighbors.
We're your precious ones.
We are your precious ones.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
I got Micah with heart diseases. Or no. Heart issues. Dear Jesus, I pray for the Micah and the heart issues. I pray that it would be gone right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Come on. Woo. Poderoso.
Let's pray for intestinal and blood issues.
All right, let's do it. So Jesus.
Jesus.
We just lift up.
We lift up.
All those dealing with intestinal issues.
All those dealing with intestinal issues.
And blood issues.
And blood issues.
We say you're the healer.
We say you're the healer.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You're going to do it.
You're going to do it.
So we just say be healed.
We say be healed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for the brokenhearted.
Ooh, come on. That's a good one. Yeah, so Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your joy.
For your joy.
For your love.
For your love.
For your hope.
For your hope.
And your comfort.
And your comfort.
And we just declare that.
We declare that.
Over all of us. Feeling brokenhearted.
Feeling brokenhearted.
You got us.
You got us.
You got us wrapped up.
You got us wrapped up.
Your joy is ours.
Your joy is ours.
Your hope is ours.
Your hope is ours.
Your peace is ours.
Your peace is ours.
So we just declare comfort.
We declare comfort.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right. Letty's going to pray for us here.
I wanted to pray for heart attacks. So God, I pray that people who are having heart attacks, that I know you can bring them back to life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right.
I just heard prevent, too. We just say prevent. God, prevent any heart attacks in Jesus' name. We say no. We say we don't have to fear that. There, even people walked in, they felt like, man, I'm fearing that maybe there's going to be a heart attack someday. We just break that fear. We break that lie. Thank you, God, for life and life more abundant in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, Letty. Good prayer, buddy.
Juanita texted in a word, and she said, I saw the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted to dance with us, and he had extra special clothes on. Awesome. Thank you.
Nice.
Come on.
Let's pray for Randy, who has cancer.
Yeah, come on. Randy had cancer. Let's just pray for that. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you have authority.
That you have authority.
Over all sickness.
Over all sickness.
And disease.
And disease.
And this little thing called cancer.
And this little thing called cancer.
It's little in your eyes.
It's little in your eyes.
So we say this thing.
We say this thing.
That's in Randy's body.
That's in Randy's body.
This intruder.
This intruder.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out in Jesus' name.
Get out in Jesus' name.
And never return,
and
cancer.
And never return.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
let's pray for Lance and maybe anybody else who might be struggling with diabetes.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's just pray for miracles. Let's just pray. Hey, man, it's on the docket. Let's just pray that it goes.
Yeah.
Anybody else dealing with diabetes that is just like, this thing, I just hate it, right? I hate it. So Jesus, we lift up our people.
We lift up our people.
Real people.
Real people.
Dealing with a real thing.
Dealing with a real thing.
We ask God. You
change their blood sugar levels.
You'd heal their bodies.
Heal their bodies.
That diabetes. Would just be a thing of the past. That they'd be able to testify.
They would be able to testify.
Look what God has done.
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 We just declare faith.
We declare faith.
Faith. To believe.
To believe.
Diabetes is gone.
Diabetes is gone.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
So this is kind of cool, guys. So the Lord is so mysterious, right? So sometimes he can speak prophetically to us and in that give us a prayer request. So this is somebody who pictured that there is a military vehicle with people in it somewhere in Gaza and God wants to encounter them.
Ooh, I love that. Let's just pray into that. A military vehicle in Gaza that God wants to encounter them. So Jesus, we lift up those people right there.
We lift up those people right there.
In that vehicle.
In that vehicle.
We just declare.
And we declare.
They're encountering you.
They are encountering you.
Let them see you.
Let them see you.
In Israel.
In Israel.
Let them look upon.
Let them look upon.
The one that's been pierced.
The one that's been pierced.
And let them just be in awe of you.
And let them be in awe of you.
All over Gaza, God.
All over Gaza.
All over God.
All over God.
Shine your light.
Shine your light.
Send angels.
Send angels.
God, bring salvation.
Bring salvation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So good. All right. We'll end on that one. Come on. Way to pray, family.
Yeah.
So good. Well, we're not going to end. I said we're going to end, but we're just going to transition here a little bit into a little more worship. We're going to go into our offering time and our kiddos can get released to kids' church. If you want them to go to kids' church, if not, they can stay with you and snuggle and listen to the word. That's awesome, too. So we have three rooms for them this morning. We have a nursery, which is all the way down this hallway to the right, this first hallway to the right. We have a 3- and 4-year-old room, which is the first room down this hallway to the right. And then we have a gymnasium.
Gymnasio.
That's right. It's so fun that we have a gymnasium for the kids to learn about Jesus. Like, that's like the best of both worlds. So anyway, 5- to 11-year-olds are going to be in the gym. And what
else? Yes, and our youth students are invited upstairs for a time of donuts, and we're going to dig into the Word of God, too. So 6th through 12th graders can join us up these stairs in the youth room.
Come on.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Well, good morning, Gate family. We have an opportunity today as part of our worship to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you're going to see on the screen some different ways that you can do that electronically. You can use any of those ways that you'll see up there. You can also make your checks out to Church at the Gate, or you can give with a cash gift. And we have some envelopes up front available for you for that. And what we do, the way that we bring our offering to the Lord, if you're new to the Gate, is we all come down the center aisle together, and then we divide off and we plant our gifts in the planters. And even if you're giving electronically, maybe you have nothing to give this morning, but you're here and we want to invite you forward. We have an open table prepared for you today of communion. We have this every single week. We want to have an opportunity to receive from the Lord through communion, and we're going to do that today. We receive from the one who on the night he was betrayed took the bread and he broke it and he lifted it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat it remembering me." He took the cup and lifted it up and he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament, my blood shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of me." So this morning I want to encourage you, as you come to the table, to come with a posture of receiving. This is that's one of the beautiful pictures of this table. Even though we come forward and we give our tithes and offerings, it's like breathing. We're giving and receiving. We're giving and receiving. And actually, it starts with the breath in. How many know with God, it always starts with Him? We only give because we've been given to. And we receive and we give and we receive and we give. And one of the ways we receive is at the table. At this table is not just crackers and juice. No. How many of you know there's so much more available for us, like healing, deliverance, freedom, everything that Jesus paid for, grace, mercy. Yeah. All of that's available at the table, and we're going to invite you to receive. So you'll see some people, if you're new to the house, you'll see some people gathered in little groups around the room. You're welcome to join a group or start a group or just receive by yourself with you and the Lord. No one will lead you. You just take the elements and you receive during our worship this morning. In fact, is it first Sunday? Yeah. Oh, well, you won't do it that way then. Why did you guys just let me talk, don't you?
My fault.
All the scripture part was good. The rest of it, disregard, except for the giving. You'll go ahead and give. But actually, our elders are going to serve you this communion this morning. I forgot it was first Sunday. So the elders are going to serve you communion this morning, available for you to receive. And so what you'll do, instead of gathering in pods, all that stuff, actually, you receive the moment that you get it from them. Go ahead and take that and receive the bread and receive the cup. Don't wait to be led by anyone. Just receive it from them and go ahead and enjoy communion with the Lord this morning. So today, as you receive, think of it not as like you're just coming and going to gather with your friends and family and receive. This is more personal today. This is you and Jesus. So when you come to this table and one of our elders hands you the bread and they hand you the cup, think of it as Jesus in that moment. They're standing in proxy for Jesus, right? Jesus in that moment, he's handing you, saying, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." So you personally receive as you come through. Does that make sense? Not confusing anymore? Yeah, awesome. Well, I invite you to stand. And as we sing this morning, we invite you to come and worship and sing and also give and receive. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and to bless you in our giving and receiving. We receive communion from you today, personally today. This is a personal time with you. So even though we're in a room full of people, all of a sudden it's just me and you. All of a sudden in this moment, it's just me and you, God. I receive your healing. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy, and I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship, go ahead and receive today. Your nail-scarred hands are beautiful. Your nail-scarred feet are beautiful. For by your wounds, our wounds are healed. Your crown of is beautiful. Your cross of scorn is beautiful. For by your wounds, our wounds are healed. Beautiful Savior.
Your crown of thorns is beautiful. Your cross of scorn is beautiful. For by your wounds, our wounds are healed. Beautiful Savior, beautiful Savior, Jesus, we believe. Despised and rejected, Jesus, we receive. You scourged for our atonement, you endured it all for the glory of the Father. We were among the ones you saw. As you sing, for by your wounds, our wounds are healed. For by your wounds, for by your wounds, our wounds are healed. Sing it one more time this morning. For by your wounds, our wounds are healed.
Will you pray, Chris? Father God, this is your day. It's the beautiful day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice in it. We are glad in it, Father. Thank you for your ministry, your love, your row by row, your seat to seat, that you have time for each and every heart. Thank you, Father God, that you are the promise keeper, and you beckon these hearts right back to the root, right back to the promise. We thank that you have done this morning. We thank you that you did it in the middle of the night. We thank you that you did it last Tuesday, because you are moving every minute of every day. We thank you. And in our thanks and our gratitude, we partner with you and say yes and amen to what you are doing, good, good Father. We pray for the message this morning, your message out of Brent's lips, that it go forth, Holy Spirit, and anything not of you, Lord, befall and never be remembered again, but all things of you be sealed and signed with our vessels, your signature. In Jesus' name, we thank you. The beloved says,
Amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. He's good, huh? God is good all the time. And all the time. Yeah, to me. Exactly. That's right.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Brent. I'm lead pastor, and sometimes I know what's going on here. Thank you, Pastor Daniel. Sometimes I know what's going on here. A lot of times I don't. But God does, amen? So we want to welcome you today to the gate. We're glad you're with us. If you're new, you'll notice under the seats in front of you, there's some Bibles, and inside those Bibles, you'll find a welcome home card. If you'll fill that out, that'll give us a chance to get you to know you a little bit better. And if you do fill it out, at the end of service this morning, you'll notice in the right-hand backside of our sanctuary, we have a bookstore back there. If you'll meet one of our team back there, they'd love to give you a gift as our way of saying thanks for hanging out with us and that we're glad you're here. We really do want you to feel welcome today. Those of you that are with us online, I know that some of you can't be here for a ton of different reasons. You may be sick today. You may be traveling, or you may just be in another nation of the world and be joining us today. We want you to know the same Jesus who's moving and ministering here right now is the same Jesus who's moving and ministering where you are right now. He's the same. Hebrews 13:8 says, yesterday, today, and forever. Will you join me in welcoming our new family that are with us and our online family? We are so glad to have you here today. So I want to make you aware of just a few things that are going on. As always, you can scan the QR code on the seats in front of you, or you'll see it on the screen. Just take your camera out on your phone, and you'll scan it, and you'll be able to click on a website that'll take you to a landing page where you can find out more information about different events and things that we have going on and who we are as a house. Just a few quick things that I want to make sure you know about. One is Pastor Quincy Goodstar, who is one of our overseers who we love, will be here again this Friday night filming his television a broadcast that goes on two different television networks, millions of people actually around the world. We get to be a part of that every single month on the second Friday of the month. Is this the second? This is the first. I can't remember what day it is. Well, he'll be coming soon. Don't worry about it. Actually, it's the second Friday, isn't it? Gosh, you think I'd know what day it is, but he's coming. It's kind of like Jesus. He's coming. All right. I do know this date, the water baptism on April the 28th. We want to be sure that you get that on your calendar. So the last Sunday of this month, we're going to have a special time of water baptism. And if you'd like to sign up for that, you can do that online on our app, or you can also do it in the foyer. We have a sign-up sheet on one of the tables out in the foyer. We'd love to baptize you. How do you know you've not been? You need to be baptized? If you've not been baptized, or I like to say if you were baptized and you don't remember it. So if you were baptized when you were a baby and you don't remember being baptized, we'd like to give you an opportunity to be baptized as they were in the New Testament in the first century when they would be baptized at the point of a decision that they made to follow the Lord. And we would love to invite you to be baptized. If you'd like to do that, just sign up in the foyer and we'd love to baptize you. Also, ladies, May the 3rd through the 5th, we've got a ladies retreat coming up. And as a matter of fact, here comes the leader. And sister Terry Nyberg would love to talk to you if you're interested in going to ladies retreat. And really, you should. Ladies, every single lady should be there. Don't miss out. May 3rd through the 5th. It's going to be an awesome time. Also, I've been asked to let you know that we have some right here, right now clothing. Our theme for this year is right here, right now. And Tana has she and Lindy helped you, right? Lindy Dewan, they worked together to put together a little set of clothing. We got t-shirts and sweatshirts and some different attire that we would encourage you to get hold of that. And they'll be doing that in the foyer afterwards today. And is this the last Sunday or do they have?
The
14th. So we have to order it and you will not be able to buy it after it comes in. You have to pre-order it and they're sending off the orders on the 14th. So you'll want to talk to them after service and they've got pictures. You can take a look at it today. Also, I've been asked by Jake, our men's ministry director, to let you know the men are getting ready to throw some axes. Come on. What a manly thing to do, right? So on April 20th, our guys are going to get together. Jake just asked me, get it on your calendar. You'll hear more about that as we get closer to it with more details. But he said, be sure to get the 20th on your calendar, guys, because we're going to go out together and throw axes. I wonder who would trust. If you held an apple in your mouth, how much do you trust me? I don't trust me like that, okay. Also, Lene is doing a phenomenal job. She's been the new leader of our Gate Cafe, which is, you have coffee in the morning because of Lene on Sunday mornings. So I want to thank you, Lene. She knows her way around that kitchen because she's also our kitchen manager for our daycare. But she, a few weeks ago, maybe even more than a month or two ago, came and said, felt like the Lord laid it on her heart to lead this ministry, and we needed someone to. But she cannot do it alone. I want to encourage you. She needs some people to help make coffee and to help get things ready on Sunday morning so that people feel right at home when they come in. So if you're interested in being a part of the Gate Cafe, if several people do it, you would maybe only have to serve once a month or something like that, or even once every other month. Let's have several people that get involved. Many hands make light work, right? And so I would encourage you to talk to Lene after service today, and she would love to help you get signed up and get you involved in our coffee ministry. Thank you for also making the first Sunday Treat Sunday, Hospitality Sunday, where we can bring treats to share with each other. Some of you did that this morning, and I personally want to give you my thanks for that. So, all right. Grab your notes and grab your Bibles, and we're back into a series that we've been in for a few weeks this year, called Today, Learning to Live the Right Here, Right Now Life. And our theme scripture, which we're finally getting to, it took several weeks of prep and building to get to this point, but we're going to spend the remainder of the series really in Psalm 118. And 118:24, verse 24, is our passage. I want us to read it out loud together this morning. Will you read it with me? Here we go. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great verse, isn't it? Love that verse. Heard that verse all my life. Sang that verse all my life. We sang that verse today, didn't we? I absolutely love it, but what I want to spend a few weeks talking about, and actually I don't just want to talk about it, I want us to encounter joy. I want us to encounter the gladness of God. I want us to encounter rejoicing and the reason. We have a reason to rejoice. And so this morning you could write in your notes, today we rejoice because of God's long history of faithfully delivering his people. We're going to rejoice because God's got a really long history of faithfully delivering his people. So Psalm 118, of course, was not written in a vacuum. I mean, this verse is, there are some verses that are just, you could just, they stand alone, and this one would. You could just take this verse and use it any day of the week for any reason, all the time. This verse is always good. It's a today verse, because this is always the day the Lord has made. So there's always an opportunity to rejoice and be glad in it. But what I want us to see over the course of this series is that it's found inside of a context. There's a reason the psalmist comes to the point in this psalm of making this statement. Well, before we drill down into the psalm itself, it's actually a part of a group of psalms. In your notes, Psalm 113 through 118, which are known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Some of you have heard of those before. These are the psalms that would have been sung during Passover. So what makes that significant, and even in light of Resurrection Sunday last week, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, is that by custom, actually, the first two psalms are sung before the Passover meal, and the remaining four are sung after it. And do you remember reading in the Gospels where it said, after they sung a hymn, then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, this would have been part of what they were singing. So after the Passover meal, they would have sang these last four psalms. So I want you to picture this. The night that Jesus goes to the cross, right? The night he goes to Gethsemane, the night he's going to be betrayed. He already knows he's going to be betrayed. He's about to wrestle in the garden. He knows what he's walking into. He knows this is why he came. And on that night, he's saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, Jesus sang it that night. Now, if he can sing it that night, I think I could sing it today. How about you guys? So these psalms, in your notes, they were sung to celebrate God's deliverance of his people, beginning with their bondage in Egypt. And, of course, that's what the Passover was all about, and these songs specifically were sung to remind them, even though it's only really in the second one of these psalms that it specifically references their bondage in Egypt, but that's what they're thinking about. they're singing these psalms about the deliverance of God. And as they're singing them, they're remembering. Because remember, when they sing this, even the night that Jesus sang this with his disciples, they're singing it while they're under the tyranny of Rome. They're singing it while the Roman Empire has their foot on their neck, right? And they're singing, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because I remember. I've been singing all these psalms, and we're going through Passover, and I remember the story about how God delivered us from the bondage of Egypt, and he set us free. So we're singing, remembering that our God has a long track record of being a great deliverer. Now this morning, you're not going to be surprised to know that I actually want to focus on not just deliverance, but I want to talk about the deliverer. There's no deliverance without a deliverer. And specifically, I want to zero in on Jesus this morning, and I want to preach Jesus big today. In your notes, I rejoice today because Jesus is my deliverer. Is, present tense. God has a long history of deliverance, but Jesus, according to Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That verse does not just mean Jesus is the same as he was on earth today and forever. It means Jesus has always been who he was, who he is. He's always been who he is now. From eternity past, before there was a was, there was Jesus. And he's the same Jesus. And my Jesus has proven over and over that he is our deliverer. And I want to look specifically at scripture this morning to see what that means for us today. Jesus is my deliverer. Well, if there's a deliverer, what's he delivering me from? Well, I'm in no way preaching an exhaustive list this morning. And I'm also not preaching something that's going to be like, wow, I've never heard that before. Any more than Passover, they were like, wow, I've never thought of that before. No, sometimes we need to go back and be reminded of what Jesus has delivered us from. Because sometimes we continue to labor to get out from under something that Jesus has already set us free from. Sometimes we continue to try to find another way, another formula, another format, another plan, another ministry. And I'm here to tell you this morning, all those plans and ministries are great, and Jesus meets us there, but the deliverer is not any plan or any ministry. The deliverer is a person, and his name is Jesus. First of all, this morning, he delivers you and I and has delivered us, not just delivers, but has delivered us from the power of sin. Jesus has delivered us. Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who takes away the sin of the world. Paul writing in Romans chapter 6, that famous passage, actually one of the earliest passages of scripture that I remember memorizing as a teenager. Because all through Romans, he's building up to this great grace of God. It's much more than how the last Adam is much more than the first Adam, and how grace is much greater than sin. And where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so then he says as he begins Romans 6, so what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Whoopee! Jesus died and now grace abounds more. If I sin more, I get more grace. And Paul says, oh, you missed the point. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And it's in the midst of that conversation in verse 6 that he says, we know. I love that Paul says that. We know there's some things we can know. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Will you say that with me this morning? We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So sin, does that mean a Christian can't sin? No, a Christian can do anything they want. But why would we want to do something that has been destroying us or destroying our family? I don't believe that most people in their heart of hearts really want to keep pushing against it. It's just that we don't realize how good God is, and that no matter how big our sin is or our struggle is, if you want to use that word, sin is just missing the mark of God's best in every way that could mean that. When we struggle or we see this thing is so big, we see our God is so little, we don't realize that God is huge. He's already defeated sin. He's delivered us from the power of sin. And sin doesn't have power over me anymore. So my identity changes, right? I'm not a sinner saved by grace. We don't say that around here, do we? I'm not a sinner saved by grace. That's not my identity. I'm a saved person who sometimes sin. Or maybe you've heard this before. I'm not a sinner struggling to love God. I'm a lover of God who sometimes struggles with sin. There's a difference, isn't there? I'm not a sinner. That's not my identity. It's not my mentality about myself. I shouldn't say that. Sometimes it is. And when it is, guess what I do? I sin, right? When I think I'm a sinner, then I'm going to sin. But I'm not a sinner struggling to love God, but I've been transformed. So have you. I've been transformed by the power of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. This is what Paul taught, that I've been transformed now, and sin does not have power over me anymore. Sin does not have, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil can't make you do it. Can't make you do it. Well, it's the same thing, Adam. My wife made me do it. No, your wife didn't make you do it. Or how about this, wife? Well, I would have served the Lord, but you know my husband, he really... Nope, it's not... Your husband isn't the one who has power over you. Jesus has power over you. And he has set you and I free. And one of the ways that he set us free from sin, I believe one of the primary ways, is because he's not only delivered us from sin's power, but one of the ways he's done that is he's delivered us, in your notes, from sin consciousness. Or being someone who has sin on our brain all the time. Let me say that a different way, because I don't just mean you're thinking about sinning. You are sin conscious if you spend time thinking about not sinning. If you spend your time thinking about how you're not going to sin, and you try to build some kind of formula, that the Pharisees did that. They were called fence laws. They had laws they built that kept them further away from the law that they weren't supposed to break. They called them fence laws, and there were so many of them by the time that Jesus comes along the scene that Israel can't even, they give up, man. They're like, how in the world are we ever going to be able to keep all these, not only God's laws, but the fence laws that the Pharisees set up? And Jesus said that you are putting all of this on the people of God, and he said, you don't even lift a finger yourself. Man, Jesus has set us free, not only from sin's power, but from sin consciousness. From being those whose minds are always consumed with and thinking about sin. Hebrews 10:17, the writer of Hebrews says, and their sins and their law, this is a promise. This is one of the clauses in the new covenant taken from the book of Jeremiah and then repeated in the book of Hebrews, claiming this as present tense for us. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will no longer remember. What does that mean? That means that God's not spending his time thinking about sin. God isn't wringing his hands worried about sin right now. God knows that God has dealt with sin. He is not spending time wondering, how am I going to get them out of sin? Jesus already died and rose again to get us out of sin. So God's not spending, according to this passage, God is spending zero time thinking about and remembering sin. He's not worried about it. Sin's been dealt with. What he wants to happen for us is that we have our minds renewed to think like he thinks. To begin to think the way that God thinks. God's mind is not sin conscious. Our mind is not sin conscious. Wouldn't it be sad if we thought that Jesus was sitting on the throne right now, biting his fingernails, worried about his church? Now, I didn't say that he's not concerned about his church. He loves his church. Book of Revelation, he wrote 7 letters dealing with areas in his church that he wanted them to step into new life that he had for them, to step away of old ways of thinking. But his mind is not consumed with our sin, and he's not worried about sin. He's already dealt with it. He wants us to believe that. He doesn't remember our sins. He doesn't remember our lawless deeds. We are the ones who do. And for some of you, maybe that's kept you in bondage for years. Because you continue to think about, there's no way that God could do anything in my life through me. There couldn't be any great plans he has for me because I did this. And so you go to God over and over. I used to do this. I go to God over and over. Oh, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Lord, you remember what I did back then. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. It's kind of like the prodigal son when he comes home to his father and he's like, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. And what does God do? He interrupts the prayer. Sometimes we need God to interrupt our prayers. Sometimes we need God to interrupt our prayers and say to us, hey. Look, I got a robe for you, and I got a ring for your finger, and I got some shoes for your feet, because I want you to begin to think like a son, because that's who you are. You're thinking like a slave, and you're thinking like a sinner. I want to remind you that you're a son. I want to remind you, I want you to hear him saying to you this morning, you're my son, you're my daughter. You're my son, you're my daughter. You have a robe on your back and a ring on your finger. I'm not thinking about your sin. I have forgiven you, so now accept and receive the forgiveness that I have for you. Hebrews 12, same book, a couple chapters later, the writer goes on to say, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, talking about what you read, Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, and all of those who've gone on before us, the Bible calls a cloud of witnesses or a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and specifically the sin that so easily trips us up. He says, let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of the weight. Let's strip off the weight, and let's strip off the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race. I mean, we're called to run. We're called to run to win. We're called to run with the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're called to be those that are full of life and full of life more abundantly. We're those of who Scripture says, as He is, so are we in this world. We are sons and daughters of God with a destiny and a purpose and a plan. We're called to run the race that is set before. How do we do this? Oh, I'm glad you told us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Oh, this is so good. That word keeping our eyes on, that phrase, the NLT use, some phrases, translations will say looking unto. The Greek word means away toward. Looking away from toward. So it's not just, I got to look away from sin. I got to look away from sin. Oh, I got to look away from sin. I got to look away from sin. Oh. Tan and I were in San Francisco at a conference several years ago, and we went to one of those things where they put a green screen behind you, and then, you know, like we're on this carpet, and they're playing the music for the magic carpet ride. And she's down, and I'm up behind her with my hands on her back, and we're acting like they'll tell us lean to the left, lean to the right. We have no idea what's going on the green screen, right? Lean to the left, lean to the right. Then they tell me, okay, look to your right. So I look to my right. They say, okay, now you take your hand and put it on his chin and turn it back. So we get done, and then we watch the movie. And in the movie, what happens is when they tell me to look to my right, there's this lady with a bikini on that's walking down the beach, you know. And so on the video, I'm just like looking over at her. And then you see Tana grab my chin and turn it back this way. It's not just looking away from. Look away from. Look away from. Turn your eyes. Avert your eyes. Avert your eyes. Don't look at the bad things. Don't do bad things. Don't be naughty. Don't be naughty. Don't be naughty. Oh, don't. As long as you're trying to avoid something and that's our focus, then we're going to keep drifting in that direction. Guys that drive motorcycles tell me you will move in the direction of your focus. You don't look at what you don't want to hit. You look at the direction you want to go. And by looking at the direction you want to go, then you end up going there. And this is this word. It's away from towards. It's really looking away from and having our eyes locked into Jesus. We don't need a sin management program. We have a Savior. We have a Savior. And when my eyes are fixed on Him, then some of the stuff that I've struggled with, you find, right, as you grow and you mature in Him, you find that those things begin to fall away, right? And now, as long as you're sin conscious, you'll keep on moving in that direction. So as long as you're walking in shame, right? I'm still ashamed. I'm still walking this shame and this condemnation. And so your mind is still locked into the sin, When Jesus all along has set us free, and when we fix our eyes on Him and we're thinking about Jesus, and how do you do that? But there's so many different ways. My wife and I love to go down the road worshiping. We'll just sing songs to Jesus and our mind will get shifted. We pray in tongues together constantly, very often. We pray in the Spirit together and our gaze begins to shift away from our struggle, because we have struggles just like you guys, away from our struggle, away from whatever's going on, and our eyes begin to get fixed on Jesus. And as our eyes get fixed on Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Do this as we read His Word. We do this as we spend time together in conversation with other people. And we begin to talk about the goodness of God. And as you begin to talk about the goodness of God and how much He loves us, because it's not just getting our eyes fixed on Jesus, it's getting our eyes fixed on the true Jesus, who is the Jesus who loves us so much that we see that exemplified in the greatest way on the cross. He loves us so much that He gave His all to show us how much He loves us. And as my mind gets washed over by the love of God, guess what? His love is better than wine. I want less wine because I got more love. I want less of whatever that thing is that I've been turning to, because I'm being consumed with the love of God. And my mind is beginning to, there ain't no high like the Most High, right? So we keep our eyes on Jesus and look towards Him. We don't went over sin by looking at sin, but by looking at and focusing on Jesus and His love. So we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the power of sin, from sin consciousness. But also, along with that in your notes, we've been delivered from the curse of the law. We've been delivered from the curse of the law already. Right now, it's a reality in your life right now that there is no curse of the law that hangs over you at all. Jesus delivered you. How do you know that? Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Christ redeemed, past tense, us means us, all of us, from the curse of the law. Any curse you read, go through all through Deuteronomy 28. All the curses in Deuteronomy 28 throughout the book of Deuteronomy. If you do this, do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. If you do good, these good things are happening to you. If you do bad, these bad things are going to happen to you. I used to preach that. I really did used to preach that. You guys may not believe that. You got a different Brent. You thank the Lord for that, by the way. You have a different Brent than the church when we first planted it in Rapid City got. The Brent of Rapid City in the early days was the hardcore, lay it on you kind of a guy. But I also walked in a great amount of condemnation and shame and all of that. I wasn't living the abundant life. But boy, I could tell you, you weren't either. But over time, the love of God began to compel me, began to change my heart. And I began to realize that Christ has redeemed me. He did it. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. I didn't get redeemed or didn't avoid the curse by how I did or didn't live. He did it. He did it. He redeemed us. He, Jesus, from the curse of the law. How? Having become a curse for us, for it is written, He fulfills this verse Himself. It is written under the law, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He's like, okay, hang me on a tree. If that's what it reads, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And remember, He's the author of the book. Oh, my Lord, can you imagine when that was penned? Moses had no idea. I mean, not really. There's no way that he knew that he was writing about the Messiah being crucified. Cursed is everyone, but the Holy Spirit did. Holy Spirit knew it right then. So Holy Spirit has it penned so that we see it forever and that we know that this is pointing us. It's a precursor. It's pointing us toward what Jesus would do. I know it was a cute little joke there for you, Tan. That was cute, wasn't it? It's a precursor pointing us to the one who would break every curse, who would actually become the curse. That's how He breaks it. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ, why did He do that? Why did He redeem us from the curse of the law? So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, who is called heir of the world, the blessing of Abraham would come to who? I don't know. We have any Gentiles here this morning? Oh my goodness, this includes me. He became a curse so that the blessing of Abraham actually could come on the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit, same way Abraham did, through faith. And even that, Paul tells us in another place, I live, in Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he even supplies the faith to every man is given a measure of faith. He even supplies the faith that we need to say yes to him. He puts the yes on the inside of us. He says, look, I've become a curse, so you're no longer under the curse. And so if we could just believe that, all of it's wrapped up in Jesus. And I understand, because I've been there and I've done this. We used to do this in our church in Rapid City. We would lead people in multiple confessions trying to think of every possible curse. And what if we forgot one? Because there's another curse that we left out over there. And I need to say I'm not under that curse. And I need to say I'm not under that curse. All I really need to know is I'm under Jesus, and he took care of all of them. Jesus took care of every single curse. Because otherwise, I'm all the time trying to figure, oh my goodness, how is my confession right enough? Have I broken that curse? Did I break this one? Did I break that one? Did I break the other? I don't know. What if I got a family line curse I don't even know about, and I got to go back 47 generations to try to unearth the other curse? Jesus delivered you from the curse. Put your eyes on him. He did it. 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 And if Holy Spirit leads you to stand up and say, I declare in Jesus' name, my family used to walk in alcoholism, but we don't anymore because Jesus set me free from the curse. If Holy Spirit leads you to say it, say it. But remember, the power is not in your confession. The power is in the one who delivered you, who inspired you to confess what is true concerning you. The power is in Jesus, 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 not magic words. Jesus, Jesus is the power. Jesus is wisdom to us. Jesus is our sanctification. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. So he's delivered us from the curse of the law. Already, he did it. He released us. He set us go. He set us free, and we can go free. So now, he also has delivered us from sickness and twisted tendencies toward evil. He's delivered us and set us free from sickness. And he set us free from twisted tendencies toward evil. What do I mean by that? Isaiah 53. I love this passage of scripture. I know many of you do too. Shirley, this is for you, Shirley. That's what I used to say about Tana and Terry and Deb Whitehead, or Shirley Goodness and Mercy, and they follow me all the days of my life. Shirley. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs. This is a messianic prophecy. Right? This is about Jesus. That's what we believe. That's the way we understand. This is the way Christians understand this passage. Surely he has borne our griefs. That word in Hebrew means sicknesses. He has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. We thought God did this to him. But he was wounded for, can be translated by, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So good. He has borne our griefs, our sicknesses. And this is powerful for us to realize this, right? To come to the revelation that healing is included in the payment or the atonement or the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That he included our physical healing. I preached this to you with 20/120 vision this morning with full correction. I preached this to you today having corrective stuff done for plantar fasciitis. I preached this to you this morning in process of seeing this manifest in my own physical body. But I preach it to you because it's in the book. That's why I preach it. I preach it because this is what Jesus wants us to know. And I think much like sin, that our consciousness begins to shift. Instead of being sickness conscious, we begin to be Savior conscious. What if the key is not me being I finally got my confession straight. What if the key is not me believing so strongly that I got rid of all the doubt, and boy, I finally walk in such a level of faith that I'm able to step into my healing? What if the key actually is Jesus himself? What if the key is Him? He's the key. He bore my sicknesses. And the reason we pray for people that are sick, the reason we do Words of Knowledge on Sunday morning, the reason we have Monday night healing, right? We have twice a month, we have healing that meets, which, what is it, first and third? First and third Monday of every month? So first and third every Monday of every month. So last Monday, right? We had healing teams here, and then tomorrow's our prophetic teams. They'll be here tomorrow night, and then the Monday after that, the healing teams will be there. And they'll be praying for people to receive healing. Why? Because Jesus bore our sicknesses. He delivered us from sickness. And so sickness and death do not get the final word in our lives. Sickness and death don't get the final word in our lives. Now, I want to preach this to you, hopefully, because I want to represent my people. What do I mean by that? I want to represent my people for just a minute, because there's some of you who are my people. What do I mean by my people? My people are the people who are the target practice for charismatic Christians. My people are the people who, when the charismatic Christian sees that you have a problem, they know that you want prayer for that thing to get healed right now. You are target practice. I'm just teasing a little bit, but I also want to do this for my people. What do I mean by my people? And the reason I do this, we had a gal in our church in Rapid who was in a wheelchair, and she finally one day said to us, because we continually would call her out of her wheelchair and pray for her to be healed, and I love that. I love running with risky people. But finally one day she came to us and she said, "Listen, guys, you might not think this, but I actually have some other things I'd like prayer for." She said, "You look at me and you see an opportunity to practice. Could you possibly maybe see a person? Could you possibly see a person who has a real heart and who maybe is struggling with some other things that you don't know about because you only see the wheelchair and you want to see that miracle manifest?" And I do too. This is her heart. She wanted to come out of her wheelchair too. That was her desire. And she believed that Jesus was a healer. All of this. She believed the same way that we believe. But what she was trying to challenge us, and we heard it, we listened. And for me, it did something on the inside of me too. And I said, "You know what? I relate to that. I've been smacked on the back of the head for real. Like, God just told me to hit you. Whack. I'm not, can you see any better? No, but I got a headache." I've had multiple, and I've done them to myself. I've splashed water on myself 7 times because I read about Naaman, and I didn't put mud in my eyes, but I've done a lot of other things that whatever, you know. And I get it. We're risky people. And I love that about us. But could we remember that that's a person that you're ministering to? And could I encourage you that as we're believing for healing, I'm speaking for my people, people who have an evident thing that you can see, like Brent needs to see 2020. And I want to change that. I don't want to see 2020. I want to see 2015. I want pilot vision. So, because then I know some of you, but I can do what I couldn't do before, and we'll go get in a plane together. Right? But could I encourage you, for me and my people, that you see a person, and maybe one of the best things that you could do would say, "Hey, what can we pray with you about today? What is it the need that you have? What is it that you would like for us to pray with you about?" And it might be the wheelchair, or it might be the eyes, or it might be the deafness, or it might be, you know, whatever it is that we quickly see that we assess and we decide people want healing from. I think that may be why Jesus went to the guy and said, "Hey, is this what you're wanting? Do you want to get up out of that mat? What is it? What's going on?" And what if it is that when you're asking the question, "How can I pray for you?" that you actually end up ministering to a deep area of someone's heart and where they're wounded and they're hurt, and maybe they're able to receive their physical healing when this other area gets healed. I'm just wondering. I love what Randy Clark taught us in Brazil. When we were praying for people to get healed, he said, "Listen, here's the one thing I want to happen. Whether they walk away healed or not, I want them to walk away knowing they're loved. I want them to walk away knowing that somebody loves them." Our place is simply to be there to pray, to lay hands on, to agree with, and then we leave it in the hands of Jesus, and we don't put the pressure on them. Please hear that today, right? Whenever you minister to somebody, never put the pressure on them that you, "Well, I guess you didn't believe it enough, Someday you'll believe it. I don't hear any of you. None of you have ever done that to me, but we have. You really haven't. I really mean that. None of you have ever told me you don't believe that enough. I mean, I've had people do it in my life, but not here, not in this church. None of you have done that. So this isn't like a rebuke for anything. This is more me standing in the place that as we grow as a church and ministering healing, I think this is an area we can keep growing in. That we can grow in a place where we see the person and we love the person and we pray for them and then we believe God and then we stand with them and we encourage them, right? We say, hey, you know what? Here's what I do with people when I pray for them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive tongues. I believe they're going to receive it right then, just like we should with healing. I believe they're going to receive it right then. And a lot of times they do, but sometimes they don't. And you know what I always tell people? That's okay, you will. That's okay, you will. And listen, as far as sickness is concerned, if someone does die and they're sick, they're not sick anymore. Amen. You still win. We win no matter what because Jesus won. I'm not saying to back down. We keep believing God for the instantaneous miracles. But we know that no matter what, Jesus already beat this. He went. For billions and billions of years, I won't be blind. Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of years, I won't be blind. Now, I'm believing that'll manifest on this side before I get crossed over. But for billions and billions of years, no matter what, I'm not going to have any pain in my body and neither are you. So Jesus wins no matter what. There's no way he loses. Yeah. Say, Brent, you can step back off the soapbox now. So also he has delivered us. I want to say this too because it talks about, and I can't take too long on this, but the word iniquities in that verse where transgression is just like an external, it's a sin, it's a breaking of a commandment. Iniquity, actually the word can mean twisted or bent. So Jesus is wounded for our transgressions, but he bleeds on the inside. That's what a bruise is. He bleeds on the inside for our iniquities, our bending on the inside. Where I used to be bent towards unrighteousness, I used to be bent towards selfishness, I used to be bent towards just looking at me and what I want and what I need. That was how I was bent. Whatever bent me, sometimes it's what we've gone through in life, and we end up bent in a certain direction. He says, you know what? I was bruised for that bending on the inside. And now actually, guys, we've been turned around and we are bent towards righteousness. We are bent in the direction of walking with Jesus. We are bent in the direction of walking in love and walking in kindness and walking in grace. So he has set us free from what's twisted us. Also, he set us free. He's delivered us from Satan and the dominion of darkness. I love putting Satan with a little S. Just me. Sometimes I just want to poke at the devil. Not going to poke at you guys, but I sure do like to poke at him. Colossians 2:15, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon, all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. You see that? In context, that's what Paul is actually saying here. That he nailed to the cross the letter that was accusing us. And now there's no accusation that the enemy can bring against us. He's got to get us to accuse ourselves. That's his weapon. He's got to get, the only way that the accuser, how far do I want to go with this, Lord? There's a teaching that the enemy has access to heaven. I know we had it. I used to teach it. I don't teach it anymore. But the enemy has access to heaven, and he's going up there, and he's accusing us before God, and we got to go to the judge and somehow get a different verdict. And if we get the right verdict, then we say the verdict, and then we deal with all that. Guys, Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning. He did have access to heaven. Read the book of Job. He did have access, but then Hebrews says the heavens have been cleansed. Why? The heavens were cleansed. The heavens were purified. Well, guess what? He has no more access anymore. Read Revelation 12. He has no access anymore. He's not accusing us. Nobody's listening to him in heaven. Nobody's listening to him. His power to accuse us is gone. So if you want to go get a verdict, you can go to the court of heaven and get the verdict that's already been rendered. There's already a verdict that's been rendered. I'm preaching a big Jesus is all I'm doing. We have a verdict in Jesus that's already given. given to us, we can take a stand on that and say, I'm forgiven, I am cleansed, I don't need any other verdict than that. I got the verdict. It is written in the book. I have the verdict of heaven, and I take a stand on that because he's been, all his power to accuse us is gone. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them across us. He led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. I love that. I love that paraphrase. He was not their prisoner. He was never the prisoner of darkness. They didn't realize it. He was using a keto violence on them. You know what a keto is? Where, and you know when someone's going to get in a fight, and instead of them fighting, they actually use your fight against you? That's what he did with the devil. He used the keto violence, right? He used keto fighting. So he took his position and he let the devil just beat him. He let the devil actually lose against the devil. A house divided could not stand. The devil took it out on Jesus, not knowing that he was winning on our behalf when he did it. So he was not their prisoner. They were his prisoner all along. Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved son. Whoa, I'm reading that fast, but it's so good. He's rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved son. Jesus has done this for us. Jesus has delivered us from Satan. He has delivered us from all evil spirits. We are set free because of him. He is our deliverer, amen? And as a charismatic believer, I'm so thankful for all of the tools that he's given us along the way. I've been a part of pretty much all of them but a lot of them. And we've had them in our church. I can remember getting so excited when Theophostic came out. Anybody heard of Theophostic? Oh, that's it. That's the magic bullet. Theophostic's the magic bullet. We finally have it. Oh, wait a minute. But then RTF came along, Restore the Foundation. Oh, that's the magic bullet. We got it now. We got the magic bullet. RTF is the magic bullet. Oh, wait. But then we found out about Ultimate Journey. Oh, that's the magic bullet. Oh, whatever it is, Cleansing Stream, you can name them all. They're all, guess what? They're all great tools. All of them have flaws too. But they're all great tools, right? And Jesus will meet us in any tool. But the tool is never the answer. Please hear me. Please hear me. The tool is never the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the deliverer. So Holy Spirit may call you to pull something from Cleansing Streams and something from Martin. And if you don't know what any of these are, don't worry. You got Jesus. None of those things are the magic bullet. None of them. We don't need another magic bullet. We have Jesus. And Jesus will lead us to do different things. Holy Spirit will lead us to maybe make a different confession or take a stand in our authority and command an enemy to go when we need to command an enemy to go. Notice Jesus never went looking for them. He cast them out when he saw them. He may have us do that, but the answer is never in the method. The answer is always in Jesus. He is the answer, and he has set me free, and he has set you free from Satan and all evil forces. I announce it into the atmosphere this morning. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's stand this morning. Today we rejoice because we have a deliverer. I'm going to read Psalm 118 and 19 as we close. He, and I really do mean close. I know that pastor means 15 more minutes. I mean close. He also brought me out to a broad place. He delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Woo, that's good news, isn't it? He delivered me because he delighted in me. Oh, good news this morning. And when he sets us free, he puts our feet in a broad place. I thought, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Yeah, that's the entry. His name is Jesus. It's straight, it's narrow. He is the way to the Father. But guess what? Inside here, it's broad. Inside here, there's room to grow. Inside here, there's joy and righteousness and peace. Inside of here, there's healing. Inside of here, it's a broad place, a place to experiment, a place to discover your destiny, a place to find out who God created you to be. He's put your feet in a broad place. He delivered you because he delights in you. Ah, will you stand with me this morning? Let's see, who am I going to have today? Eeny, meeny, miny, Scott. All right. He's not eeny, meeny, or miny. Would you bow your heads today for just a moment?
And Scott's going to be my eyes unless 2020, 2015 vision manifests right in this moment. Then I don't care what you do for the rest of the day because I'm not going to be thinking about you. But this morning, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and you want to do that today, you want to give your heart to him for the first time or you want to re-surrender him, slip your hand up real high. Three people did this last Sunday morning. Made decisions to surrender their life to Jesus. Raise it real high. Keep it up real high if you would. Anyone need to surrender your life to Jesus today? One. Yeah. Anyone else? Raise it up high this morning. Surrender your heart to the Lord. He's so good. Anyone else today? I don't want to miss out. If there's anyone else, hold it up high. Keep it up high so Scott can see if you would. Keep it up high. All right. We're going to pray a prayer for one today. How's that sound, guys? Just repeat after me if you would. Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that you came, Jesus. I believe you died and rose again to save me. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I say yes to your yes with your yes in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we rejoice for those that prayed that prayer today? Woo! Yeah, if you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, God bless you guys. If you need prayer for anything today, we have some prayer teams that are going to be up here. They will agree with you for everything that I talked about this morning to manifest in your life. You want to see the reality manifest of what Jesus paid for, come receive prayer. God bless you guys. Have a great week. You are free, so go out and give them Abraham's bosom. I got that from Jaron this morning. Give them heaven. Amen. Don't worry, I'm not changing it. You bet. Good morning. I'll be right back.